I think it would be well for them to rest, Julia. For my son, and I'll probably slip over for the dinner. With regard to the follow-up on those things, let me give you the four points that I think these people emphasize. First, the prisoner is very simple. The issue is the fact that this
we can't say January 8th.
Just say
January. That's a lot better
by not saying that.
They avoided saying it yesterday and kind of fuzzed it, but Scally makes the point. I think he's right. Saying January 8th is a hell of a lot better than saying early January.
Right, fine. January 8th.
No, I think they just kind of fell into that, you know, we weren't giving any details, but that isn't really giving a detail. That's saying how to start. They
second,
to talk about any
second. The meaning of this is that it's on both. Totally misleading. Talks to constitute. Well, I got that. Folks on the special hold when they did that. Third, that the whole will be awarded.
Negotiation. We've got to give in to the other countries. that's the way they feel about it. Their criticism, Ribbikov's criticism, which he suggested reflected others too, of the council, which he thought was a good idea. His criticism is, well, there's too much State Department in it. And you have this special operations group that's chaired by the State Department and so on. And, and they're just going to overwhelm people. And I said, well, first of all, the president's secondly, you don't know Peterson if you think he's going to get pushed around. He isn't. But it's interesting how they have that.
Well, I think when we get that around to start having Peterson doing some of these congressional offices, so if we can start turning him up, is he going to
I think he is.
Maybe he's in there.
He's not modified.
So he can show it to Congress, yeah.
He has shown it to some Republican congressional people, I think. Staffing, and I know he's ripped to you about your messenger that he's very anxious to have work with him. Messenger, I've talked with in detail about it. He's very attracted to me. He's most interested in all the world is the intelligence.
Right.
And he is just, he knows a great deal about it, and he wants to see it reformed, and he's very encouraged and hoping that's going to come about. We're very interested in defense and science, and as a result of that, is into the possibility of being in great fields. The ABC is kind of a sleeping agency.
Sure,
it has a great capacity for mounting research, and probably more receptivity to actually get the appropriations than the Defense Department does.
That's kind of a guy we need in that rat's nest down there.
Well, what he'd like to do is be chairman of the ABC, I think.
Yeah.
And
that's possible, too.
That's the competitor in his mind to something. Schlesinger in this slot with Pete.
And well, if you're, depending on how I feel, I think Pete is so capable and an inspiration kind of fellow that he could take a man of lesser independent capability than Schlesinger and do very well. I mean, I think Pete could find a man, it seems to me, that could fit his needs. He just needs a guy that can, do all these projects and so forth and follow through and hold them down and so forth. Thing is that in AEC, I would just hesitate to just put another humdrum, go along, well, what's our budget this year? Are we going to keep this or keep that? That really is a sleeping dog damn thing. It really is.
Well,
and it's a total, it seems to me, a total captive of Congress.
Let me argue with you a little bit on Pete's needs.
All right.
He has set up for himself, and talking with you, what looks to me like a very important, very exciting, and also very difficult.
Wouldn't AEC go play a rush?
AEC would, and Jim, of course, is conscious of that, the defense aspects of AEC, which he's very much interested in, and he's conscious of the fact that AEC is on the use of it, so that he would still maintain at least some involvement in intelligence, but it wouldn't be the reorganization that he's interested in. But anyway, Pete has this task now beginning to sort of form, and I think it really isn't quite the way we anticipated in the council. It's better. He's developed.
Exactly. So Conway, 100%. I went over to see Conway yesterday. Conway was talking to all of me. He had all these various ideas.
Well,
great,
but
he didn't say he'd be the total, but I refuse since I
fact is, every time when he's been getting around arbitration, or he independently now, Chuck Compton, right? I have a small group looking at every item. He needs more staff, so that's what he wants. He should have, he's going to need about 3 more. It's ridiculous to have a jackass department like HUD in transportation to have 6 assistant secretaries and have Conley over there. I mean, it's except for 3 guys, I guess they can't pay anybody more than $30,000 or something. What is it? Pay the title.
Well, I think that's right. We have
so
some,
giving what he needs, he just got to have him. Because I want to build, I really would like to see him build the staff so that he can really be the economic man in the administration. He can't do it now because he knows now I'm on the
field. Well, just to take the test and compare field of national security. That has built up over the years a big intellectual base to work from. And there are, you take up a topic and you don't find the answers in this amount of work, but you find a great deal of analysis. You find patterns of thought you can draw on that you can sort of peel away. And you've got something to go forward with. If you take a field like international economics, international monetary problems, if you thought about this council in those terms, well, those are established disciplines, and while there's lots of room for difference of opinion, people know how to think about those subjects at least. And when you start to put this mosaic together that Pete has been struggling with, of the balancing of security, of foreign policy, of foreign economic, of the domestic development and so on. It's a very hard thing to think about. And Pete is now in a position, I think, where he's identified these problems and he's very excited about them. And all right, now, let's go. But where exactly are we going? It's a darn hard intellectual problem. And it's going to take, I think, I remember you talked once about having a few people and just sitting around for a day or two trying to think and talk and come back to it. It's going to take a lot of that. And what I'm getting to is, I think Pete needs really superb people to
can we talk about your end of it?
Well, what I...
We can offer any others afterwards. You might go into this, say, for, say, look, here's our current need at the present time. Maybe any of those others stay open.
If we get the reorganization, the AEC will change.
Oh.
And this is one concern I would have about putting too strong a man at the head of the AEC.
But you might want to keep it.
Right.
I think the Schlesinger could be talked into it. And I've been trying to help Pete in this regard, putting it in terms of the broad assignment, he really is not that interested in just international trade problems unless he finds another bell. Worrying about the sugar and the this and the that, he's willing to do that, but doesn't consider that exciting. This other is, and the intelligence is, what he is really, I think, sort of gunning for is to get some kind of designation from you as having a special presidential endorsement in the intelligence area for a short while to try to help bring about this reorganization if we wind up going ahead with it. And I suppose in early June we'll have a pretty good idea exactly how you want to do that. But it's sitting almost ready to be plucked, but it's going to be a lot of hard work to do it and get the thing changed around and so on. And I know Henry has his views. But that combination, and I think some direct arm twisting with you from you would probably put it over as far as Schlesinger's concerned.
The difficulty there is that he's much, working in the pull around that intelligence thing. Too much time away from Peterson.
Well, I think that that's a problem, and that's something Pete would have to accommodate to for a period of time. And my guess is that on the intelligence, there would have to be a burst of effort to get something accomplished, and then after a while, I think I would probably have to put a great proportion of my time into it, as he would put some, and we have some other people.
All right, why don't you work on a scheme whereby he, whereby he gets sold. I think that's fine. That's fine. Valuable man, but I think you're right, Peterson. Probably just me.
Well, he's a strong mind, and he has a lot of knowledge.
See, those whole foundations and things like that.
Knows where to get it. And another thing about it is, Pete Watson has sort of decided that I desperately want to get this guy, and I think it would probably just help Pete a lot if we could help him do that.
Why don't we give Watson to the other job, too?
The intelligence job.
He used to set it up and get out. Would that work?
I think it could work. It's not a perfect thing. He's doing too many important things, but yet he knows the intelligence field very well. He doesn't. It isn't as though he has a lot of learning to do there. It's a matter of following through on what is universally regarded, as far as I can see, as a very good piece of analysis. I don't know whether you've read the longer document on intelligence.
No, I haven't.
It's a very good piece of work.
I understand it is.
As good as any I've seen around. And he would like to follow through on it. I would. For the budget as much as well as other things.
Yes. We're losing our friend Jerry Rossa over labor. He's going to go back to Standard Oil. He's written you a very vicious letter of resignation. He's going to go back. Effective on July 25th.
He's a very good man.
Excellent. Immigration is bubbling along, and we'll be coming to you shortly. Just so that there's no question about my views on it, we're probably going to have a up and down fight with Esberg sometime. I just didn't have it on this issue, so don't let that bother you at all. My views are so strong on that. I think it's so wrong to move in that direction.
It's very interesting to see how the HUD had everybody do an exercise and draft a statement. And the HUD statement is quite hard line. Very interesting. Federal government will not force housing on communities that don't want it. They picked up the line. We had a meeting with Romney and Mitchell this morning, and we'll meet again next Thursday. And I would guess that over that following weekend, we would finish the draft. But I think it'll be satisfactory. We've decided to split off the Blackjack, Missouri case as a separate issue to be treated separately on John Mitchell's recommendation to you, whatever that is, and not in this statement of ours, but as a separate issue.
Well, it's got to be treated separately.
John's got some problems, and I think he's a mixed minds up right now. See what he should do.
The line that you suggested is the other two cases, and I'll leave it back to the lower court for fact finding.
Well, interestingly enough, the Republican county executive down there in that county has given us some inputs on it, apparently. And John wants to take a look at the political
side. You want
the local police. He's against the incorporation of the town at Blackjack. He would like to see the federal government get in. He thinks there's a lot of...
Who is this? This
Republican county executive.
The guy ran for governor?
No. No, this is a four-term Republican county
executive. Okay, attention in Missouri. Blackjack, if you stay there all in that town.
Well, John wants to take a look at it. He'll be talking to you now.
That's no rules in it for us. I mean, he's talking about that part, and you just get the hell beat out of him out in the middle and the other part. But apart from the votes, it isn't the right thing, in my opinion.
Well, some distance away from solving that.
All right.
But the other one has come a long way. Actually, got a pretty good draft of the statement coming. Yeah, I've got a price to take a look at it now, just to get the language in shape. Well, that's come along. I have asked Whitaker to try and pull together all the polls that he can find and any other evidence that he can find one way or the other on the question of whether
these pollution and environment things are really politically significant or not. He made a first cut at it, and I would think that by the time we're ready to do this overall review, we're going to be able to give you some fairly objective evidence on a question of whether this is something we ought to be spending our time on.
There's one incident that is not useful, that whatever should not get on. He's got to three on the poles that are working, and once you get yourself, you know, you've got to be sure. Harris's pole list at one time had an enormous number there, but he loaded the question. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you understand what he did naturally, he'll tend to look that way, to lean that way himself.
Well,
I want these poles analyzed from the standpoint of what they really show. When, not when you go in and push people and push them around.
That's, I've asked that in each case we be provided with the question that was asked rather than just the numbers. And so that's the kind of thing we'll be giving you. There's an awful lot of folklore in this area about just how much clout this thing has and with what groups. And so we've got a breakout on it. Dirge is doing some work on it.
Yeah, good. Yes, indeed. Very.
So we just keep an open mind on that for a while. And that's it.
As far as environment is concerned, you know, we have to remember that our major concern at the present time is to destroy a lot of American industries and create jobs.
Oh,
I should probably are about up to doing that.
Well, I should tell you another thing we have going on that. I've had Ruckel's House, Mrs. Nauer, Elliot Richardson, everybody that is in the regulatory business in, with Maury Stans and Jim Hodgson and Peter Flanagan and Peterson and others. And I put this to them.
Good.
And we are going to be meeting periodically now toward the development of some very clear guidelines for these folks as to the kinds of things we do and don't want to have happen in regulation and the kinds of clearance processes that we're going to require. And so we're moving on that.
John, let me give you an example. When I was talking to Borlaug, when he was here, here's a guy who won the Nobel Peace Prize. If he had not discovered and developed those strains of small wheat, all experts agree that, and I've used the word advisedly, that millions of people in India, Pakistan, and part of Mexico and other parts of Latin America would not be living today, they would starve. I talked to him about, and he brought up the subject when I was sitting by at dinner. He brought up the subject, he said, you know what, I'm terribly depressed by the attitude of your administration on DDT and chemicals and so forth.
Yes, sir.
He says, you must not let this happen. He said, those that believe in that, and they fear the results of applying chemicals and so forth to plants, and I think it's the only kind of a plant that is people or food that is consumption is that that is never known, any pesticide, chemical, or so forth and so on. He said that I know, and anybody in my field who really knows those sides knows that always a pesticide or a chemical does set up some detrimental factors, but you've got to weigh the damage it costs against the benefit that it creates.
To balance.
And that is something that we're not doing. Eventually, we'll do it on the pesticide thing and all the rest. And everybody has gone absolutely stark, crazy mad about this. By God, we're going to stop it.
You can forgive a guy like Ruckel's House, who only hears from one side.
Sure.
And what we have to do is to develop a scheme so that we get a balance automatically in the system, so that somebody like Ruckel's House can't make a decision in response to his pressure groups without subjecting it to the review of people who have adverse evidence.
Sure, it's like the people John in the antitrust division. And we can hear from all the little sort of ideologues that want to bust up companies because they're big, companies are evil, big, corrupt, and so on.
We have completed that
aside, and I just feel so strongly on this, but let me say it on the end. This whole business about pesticides, the
et cetera. And environment goes with it, safety goes with it, consumerism goes with it. Has become a racket.
Yep.
Well, it has become a racket. And the thing is that it's but it's a, there are some people that are out there gaming against the universities and the college professors and, you know, and associates, professors and so forth, not the really able ones, but the jackasses are all jumping around on this because rather than disciplining themselves and teaching well, they just want to be out leading some goddamn cause.
Well, that's
we're essentially got to stop it. We're going to stop believing.
There's been some very superficial thinking done about public policy in this area. I don't think you can afford to go to either extreme on this because it's a balancing of interests all the way through.
I know it is. Let me say, though, we're going to go to the other extreme in order to pull it from the middle.
Well,
we've got to pull it from the middle.
I think this is where my political inquiry comes in, because I would hope you would not go to the other side to pull it to the middle at great political cost.
Not too great.
And I think we ought to go. We ought to do with our eyes open. We ought to know what we're getting into.
That's the reason I had John to do this. That's the way the political cost of 2-3 million jobs lost to
certain
cost of putting the goddamn airbag in the car.
That's right.
And that's
the thing we're setting about anyway, and we're trying to get a line on this subject.
John, you've seen the memorandum that I sent to Replicas.
Yeah.
2-3 days ago. Basically, what we're trying to do on that is to say to him that in these various actions that you're taking or supposing, you haven't built enough of a case. You haven't shown us what the cost. You really haven't lined out what the costs are, what the gains are, and so on. And before you go ahead and do that, Lord.
Well, you know,
that'll slow it up, then.
But you know, it isn't just Ruckelshaus. It's these other areas too, safety and consumerism and so forth.
That's worse.
Maury has come up with a very interesting idea. He says, you know, now by law, everybody has to file an Article 2 statement, an environmental impact statement, every time the government wants to do something. He says, I propose that every time we do something in this area of safety or consumerism or the environment, that we be required to file an economic impact statement. How many jobs is this going to cost? How many businesses is this going to cost? How much money is this going to cost the consumer? So that we can weigh the thing and see what one outweighs the other.
Good.
And that's what's coming out of this thing. And that will apply across to all regulatory operations.
Well,
that's just looking down the road. That's
the quadrant out of here.
Thank you.
still, anything's manageable below 100. It's basically, we should have.
I don't know whether Bob has had a chance to tell you the tube problem.
Well, you told him the tube problem on the 7th. I've gone down that.
But the tube problem is, he, in motion, he doesn't want to do it on the 8th.
Yeah.
Insisting that it be the 7th, or some
chance of it, me.
But the problem that makes me uneasy is, Mr. President, that his National Assembly is going to pass an electoral law on the 1st, which means that I suspect, and I'm checking with Bunker, that he may want to come back from a meeting with you to promulgate the electoral law. I just wonder whether the impact on the Liberals here will be he comes back from midway to promulgate the law.
I wonder, I don't think it makes that much difference, because I think we're stuck with him anyway. They're going to claim they're going to do everything. And the other point is that the hell with the impact on the Liberals here. The main thing is the impact on the country there. Will it help him?
It'll certainly help him.
I'm for that. And also, as far as the situation is, that since it is two years after the other one, I think it gives a great justification that we decided to have a meeting just 2 years later to check the progress. I'm not worried about the impact on the Liberals here.
Then I will tell Hunter that we're going to do it on the 7th. That's agreeable to you.
7th works, logistically works okay.
Yeah. So if we could, the only other thing is it's very important to get that word to quickly we can to somebody knows. So have Bunker just, how are you going to get that now?
I can do it in 2 ways. I can either ask and have Bunker send me a back channel that I showed to Roger.
Yeah.
And have Bunker explain that he's sending a back channel in order to keep it out of the bureaucracy. And I'll just show him the back channel. Or ask Bunker to put it into a regular channel. I prefer having him put it into a back channel that I show because in the regular
channel. Why don't you put it in the back channel to me, in other words?
Right, the back channel to you.
Yeah.
You can take it over to State Bank. This is, of course, for the Secretary of State only. I send it to this channel only.
Yeah.
Because I want to prevent potential leakage.
Right, fine. Okay, have him send a back channel to me, so forth. And that Bunker's to say it's very important. We should do it at this time. It provides an opportunity to make this announcement and so forth. You take it to Roger.